All right, Fernando, it is all yours.
Well, thank you very much. It is a pleasure for me to be here with you today. I think really appreciate the invitation from Kevin and Marisa to join you today to talk about what we do, and what we do meaning not just here in Colorado, but what we are trying to do around the nation and in different capacities and in different structures about what we call the community health workers and the promotores de salud model, and we all, most of us, turn to call it a position. So what I'm going to speak to you today, and I'm not going to be driving, so Marisa's going to help me, so we click next. I didn't get the opportunity to know or to learn where many of you are coming from today, from what background, so my apologies if I will speak in some general terms and also try to get to the specifics when we get to the questions, but if you have heard this before, just go along for the ride, and if you haven't, well, enjoy the show, because where we start usually is, you know, what is it with our community health workers, what are they? We at CREA Results use the two words either in English or Spanish. We call community health workers and also promotores de salud, which promotores de salud translates literally as health promoter. And the question sometimes that people ask is like, you know, so what exactly what you do? So we click next. So this slide is a slide that I like to use that I got from a colleague of mine called Ben, and I just like to use it to make you ponder for a moment of what is it? And I'm not sure if everybody's muted, but if somebody's not muted, is that how would you call that when you see a picture of that? I'm going to assume you are muted or you are very quiet today. So actually I'm curious. I'm going to wait. Are we all muted? If you're not, somebody tells me what that is.
I see a couple things. I see a couple paths, like two options for a path, and then I see kind of like a public space or maybe it's a park, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, there's two different ways to get to that place. Some people call it a shortcut. Some people call it, you know, anything that has to do to take you to one way to the other way. I like asking people this one, you know, to ponder for a moment. Who was the first person to cut across the grass? Was that person a silly person who was not paying attention? Was that person a jerk who just decided that, you know, I'm not going to follow the path? Was that person in a rush chasing a kid who was about to cross the street? Was that person an emergency technician trying to save a life? And, of course, it all depends on the context, right? But what we can see here is something happened. One person went across, and then other ones will follow. And one of the things that, as we call it, and Marisa, if you click on the picture, something will appear, not on the, yeah. So some people call this the desire line. And while at CREA Results, sometimes we do certain things around environmental design and walkability studies and bikeability things, and I am not an architect. Some people tell me this is called the desire line. And sometimes it comes with the part of saying, you know, somebody did a lot of work trying to come up with the best strategy to come up with that paved road, and somebody just decided that they have a better idea. How does this relate to the community health workers and promotores de salud is that sometimes I think, again, in public health, we have a certain way to operate. We have systems in place. We have things that we have proven that they are evidence-based, and they should be followed in a certain way. And of course, there's always somebody that comes across and say, well, what if we have a different idea? What if we can do it different? What if the way that we have decided that this is how things should roll is not necessarily the most efficient way for everybody. So I want you to keep that in mind as we go through the presentation, because I think, you know, if I'm successful at some point, as you will notice, my circular conversation eventually will land on something and hopefully will make sense. So click the next one, please. One of the other things that I like sharing is that when we talk about community workers and promotores de salud, there has been a couple of things that you know, we have been working on. And this is just a letter from a guy that you all know. Some of you like him very much, some of you don't, but we're not going to get into that. But this is the President of the United States. And what he did is a couple of years ago, I'm still part of a national steering committee of community workers and promotores de salud from the Department of Health and Human Services. And this was just a letter recognizing, you know, some of the work that it's been seen, it's been proven through the community health workers that for many systems and places and locations and hospitals and public health departments, it's starting to be something beyond cool people from the community that understand how to work with community and understand the systems, and they're very beneficial, and sometimes they're grant-funded, sometimes they're volunteers, to actually start talking about what we call an opportunity for integrate yet another possibly even position, that people that they are very effective about working in the community, providing education, providing access to services, and of course coming from very grassroots point of view, but also from a very passion-driven capacity to be able to engage with different communities and cultures from different backgrounds, no matter where they come from. Let's click the next one, please. So one of the things, as I mentioned before, you know, there's different terminology, and I always like putting it out there because sometimes people say, well, how do I call that? I don't know how to roll my R's, and what if these promotores are? In Career Results, we decided that it was to our convenience to be able to utilize these terms in interchangeably. And by that, we mean that there are different trains, different philosophies, different trains of thought. There are some of my colleagues see themselves very independent from promotores to community health workers. So most of them starting to see that, of course, there's a big, big relationship. The thing that we saw, of course, calling ourselves only promotores de salud, the risk or the sometimes the perception of people will say, well, you are only working with members of the Latino community that speak Spanish. And while that is true, it is not true for all the work that we are able to do as promotores de salud. So we're using the terminology from the American Public Health Association and also other groups called community health workers, which of course it already allowed us to be part of different conversation that comes in terms of how do we move this conversation from a movement to a position. But regardless, it's again important for you to for some of you this is a new term, to just, you know, be familiarized with it because it's going to be here for a long time. And as we say, you know, I'm not going to read you the slide, but it's right there. And there's a little distinction between the plural, the singular, the female, the male, and in terms of general terms, promotores encompass men and female health promoters. Next one, please. This is the definition of the American Public Health Association for the Community Health Workers section, which I'm part of, and I'm also part of the Governing Council. And I'm not going to read you the definition, but I think as you can see, what it speaks of is members of the community that may not hold a professional license, and they are very much embedded into the communities where they that they serve, either because they live there or they have a very, very clear and close understanding of the communities where they're working with. Click the next one, please. And this presentation will be available to you too. this is part of the definition too, and I think, again, it's just part of the different things that we're trying to incorporate. We're trying to be not very broad, but also as specific about the things that we may be able to accommodate and to do as a community health worker. Next one, please. Something important, I think, as we see that, we want to be very much aware and honored that, again, we don't have sometimes a certification process in place today in the United States. And we're also very much aware that we're not here to provide clinical care. We are not nurses. We're not cardiologists. We are not pulmonologists. We're not social workers. We're not doctors. So we are aiming ourselves to be aware that we're not here to provide clinical care. We sometimes don't have any other professional license, and the expertise is based on a shared life experience and usually culture where the population is served. As I mentioned before, there are a lot of efforts nationally to come up with a certification and accreditation process. There's nothing today, and it's very much state-specific, and I will also be speaking about the efforts that Colorado is doing until today. Next one. What we do know is there's a lot of impact. The work of the community health workers is well documented. If you do any literature review or if you just simple Google community health workers and different things, you will find articles and processes all the way from research studies to implementation processes and different hospitals around the nation, and others have done a lot of experiments and a lot of research and a lot of programs that involve community health workers, and we have seen an opportunity to be part of the improving the quality of life of people that we serve. Next one. So a little bit about CREA Results. CREA Results is an organization that I had the privilege to start with my sister Diana almost 10 years ago. We started with, again, following the model of Promotores de Salud and Community Health Workers. What we are is we identify ourselves as a social enterprise. We have about 15 community health workers, promotores, working with us. We are not volunteer-driven per se. We are all volunteer at a personal level, but we basically design campaigns in partnership with other organizations. We seek out funding and contracts to basically implement a component of a campaign or sometimes run the whole campaign, and that will have some examples to share with you in the following presentation. Next one, please. So as it may look a little, cliche, we really think we're here to change the world. And we change the world by changing our world. We tend to say that promotores are never deployed. We work in the communities that we serve and that we live and where we thrive and where we suffer. And that's what it makes us, in a way, very effective. Some of the pictures there just speak at sometimes, it's as obvious as sometimes joining a very, very noisy and cumbersome Cinco de Mayo campaign, and where we have to really go because that's where we know the people is going to be. We know that it's not going to be useful for awareness and education, but it creates an opportunity for visibility, an opportunity for engagement. And sometimes, while people's having a beer and a piece of turkey in their hand, they may be 1 minute of magic where you could share something that will allow that person to take something home that when the next day they remember to call you, they can actually follow up in something that is important to them. And because we're always speaking about health issues, we know that sometimes we have to be in those events and participate for 8 hours. We also have a picture there that sometimes, again, and it's easy sometimes as parents to say, do as I say and know as I do. And when we're really trying to show people how to shop, how to make decisions, it's easy to do it through a PowerPoint or sometimes respectfully through a webinar as we're doing today. But we also believe that nothing makes a difference that really being able to show you what I'm talking about. And again, not to use very overused words, but we really are about teaching people how to fish and not necessarily to say, I know how to get what you need. We tend to say that we are not in the business of creating professional clients, and we stand by that, and we challenge people with respect. And sometimes, you know, we abuse a little bit of friendship where we can say, you know, stop that. I'm not buying it, and I'm not doing it for you. So I already show you how to do it. Do it again. Do it for yourself. Next one, please. All right. Sorry, the PowerPoint was supposed to be very interactive, and now I think it has some glitches. This is just a little bit of a slide that show you a little bit we have done. This is not aiming to put there to impress you, but to impress upon you that this is just what a small team of promotores can do over a lot of years. But we're very proud of the numbers because we know that every time there is 18,252, we know that two means that maybe that was your uncle or your sister or my mother who got referred to a service. So we are also very much aware of the accountability that we are, it's placed on us because as I mentioned to you before, we will write grants with you, we will write grants for you, we will generate a contract. And we know that every number has an attachment to a return for investment, that every number, every person, it is our opportunity to prove, to show, to help, and to know that while it may be very different to put tears and joy and happiness on a report, we know that the benefit of doing the work that we do, it is really about serving people. So. And this is just one of the slides that we're able to present today. Next one, please. Some of the pictures I think you will see is again that members of the team, members of people that are graduating, the picture in the right, well, it doesn't do a lot of justice. It is, you know, some of the, again, programs incorporate physical activity components and things that I think we can always say, well, here's a free membership for the YMCA or for Denver Rec Center, but it also brings about for us to have a coach and a promotor who wants to do a free salsa zumba lesson and get everybody stand up and dancing, even if they choose not to or they don't want to. Eventually they will be convinced or cajole, and everybody ended up just taking 5-10 minutes to engage into the activity. The picture on the left there talks, I think, again, what we commonly call graduation. We do a lot of classes, and I will speak of one of our programs in the next slides. But again, we make a big deal. Why? Because it's a big deal. For many people, this is the first diploma they have ever got because they're graduating from a 12-week class for a 17-week class for something that they put their effort and they really wanted to get done. I also want to give an opportunity for, because I think, again, I can keep speaking about the slides, but I would not mind if any of you had a question or a comment or something that you want me to address as you're seeing some of the slides. And I believe the chat box is also open in my computer, so I'm also able to react to those if you want to. Next one, please. So one of the programs, can you click the next one too, is the CHARLAR program. This is an acronym for a program that basically talks about community heart health action for Latinos at risk. This is a program that we do in partnership with the Colorado Prevention Center. Many of you may know our champion and leader, Kevin Camus, who is in this call today. He's our program director for that particular project. And this is a project that we are very, very much fond to it because it has almost a been in implementation for 7 long years. We have multiple iterations of classes. We graduate about 100 people every time, and we continue to graduate people back and forth. My sister presented yesterday, and I don't have the final in my head, but I believe it's over 1,400 people have graduated for the program. But I think that some of the things that I'm sorry, I'm hearing some tape, some background noise, and it's not coming from me. Some of the components of the program includes, again, a 12-week education program about preventing cardiovascular disease, such as aneurysms and heart attacks. Some of the pictures you see here is part of our screenings, part of our classes, part of the conversations that we have, where we have doctors coming in, providing feedback based on the results. We check cholesterol, we check glucose, we check blood pressure, weight. We talk about the promotors are trained to do Framingham testing for cardiovascular disease health, and then we go into a whole 12 weeks of programming. If you click the next one, please. The program also incorporates, of course, I added 3 other slides, but I think that was the last iteration, and I apologize, I couldn't share my screen. But what I was going to share about Charlar, it's also that there has the component that it has a community advisory committee. It also has a component that it has, of course, a promotores de salud leading all the classes and all the components. In this case, Diana, my sister, is also the acting project coordinator for the community health worker side. So one of the amazing things we have, and of course I'll encourage you to reach to Kevin Camis too to get his perspective, is it's one of the incredible models that we would like, and it's here in Colorado, and we're very proud of it, for what it creates, that dichotomy between an agency like the Colorado Prevention Center and a small organization like CREA Results to deliver a program with a high quality and high standards, accountability, and even in turn to incorporate some research elements to it.
Fernando?
Yes.
Hi, this is Judy Carrington, and I attended the screening in Thornton this past weekend, and I was very impressed with the professionalism, the efficiency, and meeting the advisory committee members, the promotoras. It was a really great event to see in action. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you for your visit. And as always, you can reach out for me directly or to Kevin, and we always have in these events every 3 months. So we're always looking for volunteers, and we also always looking for visitors, so you can see the promotores and the community in action. And thank you very much for your comment, Kerry. So one of the things that we have also been able to do, we had a project that has to do with health insurance education, navigation, and enrollment about the Affordable Care Act. And if you click the next one. When the whole process started of Obamacare, we were very much fascinated and a little worried about how does this project will fly? How does how are we going to get to break through the big barriers around mistrust of the government, and the people that, for example, don't have a citizenship or a residency status as a legal resident, but their kids are citizens. And the biggest fear of exposing yourself and your family but for the benefit of providing your children with access that that they deserve, that they have the privilege to have as citizens. How reaching out to a community that historically have not seeing the doctors or the nurses or the medical health system as the place where you want to go and hang out, as my medical home model, right? And but really just the place where I go when I'm broken and fix me up fast, I'll pay you and I'll see you later, hopefully never. And so really what we were trying to do, and this is a set of projects that we did with actually a couple, almost four different insurance carriers, and in combination with the Colorado Health Exchange and the State Department, into creating not just one, but we created like four different campaigns that had to go through many iterations and different strategies. We went all the way to utilizing the television. As you see in the right, we use Telemundo, Univision, newsletters, churches, bulletins, radio shows, anything it has to do to bring in information. We did small presentations with more intimate conversations of about an hour or two, sometimes 3 hours, where community members will come and try to understand what in the world was Obamacare and why I was going to be getting a fee and why I was supposed to get something that I didn't really know I needed, but I always wanted it, but now I had access, and but it had a cost. We did a lot of forums. We did a lot of presentations, as you see on the right, where basically it was just inviting people from the community to do that. If you click the next one, please. All that, of course, comes with a trained team of community health workers, promotores, that we have to actually train ourselves and understand everything from, we even become a certified application assistant site for a moment. So we were able to actually help people with their enrollment process, check all their application, and get them ready for basically with me an enrollment specialist and being able to get access. The next one, this is a diabetes prevention program called DPP in short. Some of you maybe have heard about it. If you click the next one, this is a 17-week project that has to do with It is guided and provided for the Center for Disease Control. It is a great formula that actually follows the CHART-LAR model. And surprisingly to many, including ourselves, sometimes, when we say it's difficult to bring people to a 12-week class, many of the participants that participate today on the DPP, which is 17 weeks, which expands to over a year, the way that the project is designed, they are actually ex-participants from CHART-LAR. And of course, the explanation there is because while sometimes may be uncomfortable and difficult to find 2 hours a week to talk about health and learn about different things, once people it's in the process, they actually get very much attracted to what they're learning, for the accountability that they get, the support that they get, and the resources. So this is a project that has been running about for over 2 years, almost three. And again, it engages about 50 to 100 participants at a time, and they all continue to graduate, and they all continue to lose weight, and they all continue to make behavior changes. The next one, please. So as I think as we go through these ones, and Marisa, if you want to just click again, this is a program we have with the Susan G. Komen. It's been going on for 4 years. This project, again, has a similar model. We do a lot of workshops, programs in the community. We attend a lot of events. We this one clicked twice, but this is a similar picture. This is this one, skip a slide, that it has a health and wellness program. We did a lot of projects with Livewell Colorado, Delta Dental, and others. That basically has to do with sugary drinks and beverage. Combined with the breast cancer awareness, I think, again, it provided us with an opportunity to go to many different places in the community and offer a workshop and also a direct referral to a mammogram for people that they were underinsured or uninsured. Next one, please. Some of the things that I'm trying to take a picture for you that some of you may not be familiarized is that I think, again, the community health workers and promotores have a lot of people say, well, you're like all over the place, and what it makes looks like we are, the reason that we're able to jump from a silo to another, from a disease specific, it's because it's the same model, it is the same infrastructure, it is the same staff. The promotores get trained in about 4 hours to 25 hours, depending on the complexity on the subject. And while we may not become experts on this, on everything, we can become experts on delivering certain material and certain information. Click the next one, please. This is a simple partnership that we did with, at some point, the State Department, but also with Walgreens, where basically they told us, we have a lot of flu machines, and could you help us set up flu clinics? And this has been an amazing project that we have carried over 4 years now, where sometimes we're able to distribute over 6,000 flu shots a year simply by going to the churches, by the places. As you know, it's not machiavellically or very much a strategy, but the one in the left, that's the priest. So we know that if we can convince the priest, some people may actually see the opportunity in a different way. We reach out directly to parents. We reach out directly to children. And as you know, you see in the picture of the right, you have the guy trying to be very, very hard, very, very strong, where the kid in the back really not being very convinced but still taking the shot. We don't like just delivering shots because shots are painful, but we definitely like delivering the intervention in a complete way with awareness and education. So we keep expanding that program, and we're currently waiting to hear from an HPV program that we just wrote about. In the past, we actually have a couple of grants and funding from the feds directly to talk about HPV and also talk about influenza and many other things. Next one, please. As we move through these ones, just click the next one. The community health organizers is also increasing into the participation of the community health worker, not only as a person that delivers information based on an evidence-based curriculum, but also taps them for their skills and abilities to get to know and understand their intricacies of the politics, the relationships of everything that happens in their communities, from a grassroots level all the way to the policy level. The Community Health Organizer Project, that was a project we did with LiveWell Colorado, that we're really trying to actually transform public health campaigns into policy initiatives, to really have a lot of local organizing set up in a way that communities will be able to see what is it, what it was important to them, and rather than just waiting for a larger agency to come with an implementation program with a class, to actually being able to challenge the process and say, these are the issues that we want to work on. Let's find the funding, let's find the partnerships, let's find the leadership, the champions, and challenge our elected officials and influencers to really being able to work on something that we think is important. It also brings about challenges like, you know, and when it comes to research, to say that, well, are we waiting for a research project to come to our community, or are we willing to do the legwork and the hard work to be able to engage academicians and other agencies that they have an interest in working with our community so we can actually together come up with the best research question and the best grant to pursue. Next one, please. So if I think I can guess what's the next one, I think we talk. I want to talk briefly about the, well, this is just something we, again, a reminder, we say we meet people where they are, but we don't leave them there. The next one, please. So, of course, this is not all nice and dandy. It is really difficult. As I mentioned before, there's no national guidelines today on training, accreditation, and certification. Every state is trying to do what they can to go through this process. There are multiple definitions, training models. Some people don't like to be called community health workers. Some people like to be called patient navigators. Sometimes people like to be called peer educator. Some people like community liaison. Some people like any other thing. So it's a lot of confusion still there, resource specialist, and so on. The job description, the reimbursement formula is still something that states are trying to figure it out. And there's sometimes no recognition privately or publicly about what community health workers and promotores can do. As I've shared with you before, we put a proposal there respectfully to you all as public health practitioners to start seeing the CHWs and promotores as a position, not just as a movement. However, it's still a movement. because we know that everything that comes in between, it has a lot of and key components of social justice, environmental justice, and really looking for a better way to address health disparities. Next one, please. Some of the things that are happening, I believe, right now across the nation and in Colorado, as you see, or you hopefully you can see from this presentation, is that there is pretty much almost in many states already some initiative going on, some conversation, some formality to what community health workers are and how are they being incorporated in the medical teams. So this is something that this is the first time you hear about it. Just know that it didn't start just today. We are privileged to be behind many people wake. And this is something that if you are, of course, interested in the future of public health, I would recommend you start getting yourself familiarized with it, because as we need your help, it's also one of the areas that we know it will continue to grow and expand. Next one. There are many different things. Just to give you a little bit of reference, the American Medical Association actually presented just recently a report what it's recommending the CHWs as a patient care team. It actually refers to the CHW as a profession. The American Public Health Executive Director was actually in support of that one too. We got the privilege to now have the American Nurses Association. There's a white paper on care teams, including CHWs. ASHTO, the agency for, oh my God, something territories. I apologize, I forgot, but it's a federal agency. There's actually looking into a technical assistance project for different states at the moment. And the CDC has a national policy study on certification ongoing right now. Next one. As we continue to move through through the iterations of where it is and where we want to go, there are many different states, as it says in this slide, that they are already going ahead with certain qualification, certification, apprenticeships models, and so on. They're passing legislation back and forth, and of course some of them are very supported, some of them are still trying to think what's the best way to go about it. Next one. Here's where I'd like to make a little bit of a definition between the community health workers and promotores de salud and patient navigators. Here in Colorado, we're using and seeing that terminology, again, trying to be included. There's still different trains of thought. The way that we see it as community health workers is that community health workers patient navigation is a function of what a community health worker can do. And we strongly advise that we should try to find common ground on the terminology so it makes it easier for our health insurance companies, our health departments, our partners to understand which is the best way to come on to a definition and to a process that allows us to better serve community members either while they are patients or while they are not inside of a healthcare management system. Next one, please. So I think, again, one of the things that we see is, of course, patient navigator may have another occupational background, maybe a registered nurse, maybe MSW background, social work. And I think, again, as we said, that patient navigator, navigation, we see it as a role or a function. CHW, we know it's a distinct occupation. It's already registered under the Department of Labor at a national level, and many states are already creating their own policy to include it into the Department of Labor at a state level. Next one, please. Where you can get involved is we're part of a coalition that has to do with community health workers, promotores de salud, and patient navigators. And I have a couple of slides on that one, and we continue to look for other people to join us. Things that I want to leave you with is that I think, again, the community capacity can be built and increased by the work of the promotores and community health workers. The training and incorporation of the community health workers in healthcare systems provide an opportunity for not just creating people as elements of change inside of the healthcare formula, but also a connection between the communities where agencies, hospitals, healthcare systems are trying to work with in the community. Can we click the next one, please? And again, to finalize, it is to share with you that there is now a current initiative led by the State Department. Definitely encourage you to check it out. Many of my colleagues are part of it. We call ourselves the Colorado Patient Navigators, Community Health Workers, and Promotores de Salud Alliance. Could you please click the next one? What we're trying to do is to really find common ground into how to go about everything from the policy to the implementation to the reimbursement formula of how these positions, these elements that they are already out there, how can we actually set something up from the state to have that conversation and come up with something that continues to provide great value and not necessarily having to be philanthropy driven or maybe through a grant from the State Department, but maybe a combination with businesses, healthcare systems, and insurance companies. Next one. This is again some of the states of the Alliance. I think I forgot to include the contact information for the Alliance, but if you contact me directly, I think, again, I'd be happy to direct you to the people in charge of the communications from all the Alliance so you can be part of it. We're actually going to be having a meeting very, very soon, so it would be great for you to join us and be part of that. And I think the final slides are coming. You click the next one. I think just the final thought, as we said that always, if you click there, well, it didn't come up, but it basically say if you want to run long, short, if you want to run fast, run alone. And if you want to run long, run with a group. There you go. The process, I think, of where I want to leave you with before I open for questions is that as we speak very strongly and very proudly about the work of community health workers and promotores can do personally from a CREA results perspective here in Colorado, what we're looking is always for partnership collaborations. We cannot do our work without your help. We are very clear of where we are. The disparities that are from everything from funding to influence and to impact, it is something that we know we have to collectively work on it. What I do also want to let you know is that what I have the privilege to speak from a CREA results perspective, we're not by no means the only one. We are only one of the organizations that does this kind of work. So I will encourage you to seek out for people that do similar work, the one that we do. There are many people who would love to help into generating a better way to go about how do we go about public health, population health, and everything, elimination of health disparities and increasing social capital and civic engagement. And I think talking to a group of people like you, it's amazing to me because we strongly believe that, you know, the strength is in the numbers. And if there's anything we can do to be at service, please let us know. And I'm going to stop there and open up for questions, reactions, or comments. Thank you very much.
Hi, Fernando. This is Sereny with the State Health Department.
Oh, thank you, Sereny.
Sure. First, I just wanted to thank you so much for your presentation today and all of your wonderful, wonderful work. I know that you do great. You make a wonderful impact around the state, and just seeing it in presentation just reinforced that. So thanks again for all the terrific work you do. And I wanted also to let those people who are participating in today's call, for those who are interested in participating in the next Alliance meeting, that is going to take place on Friday, July the 8th. That's going to be from 1 to 4 p.m. at Copic, which is near Lowry. So if anybody's interested in finding out more information, they're certainly welcome to contact me or to look online. There will be more promotion about that particular event that happens. Again, that's on Friday the 8th from 1 to 4.
And this is Lainey. I'm with Cerny, and I'll get that information from her and forward it out to the whole group. So
great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Okay, well, I want to, on behalf of COSOFI, I want to say thank you so much for your time and your presentation, Fernanda. This is incredible. This is great. We thank you very much. And if you're willing, we would love to share your slides out with those who did attend today's presentation. So.
Yeah, certainly.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Well, if there's no other questions, I will just leave the presentation today just kind of with a quick teaser that we do have another COSOFI webinar that will be on July 20th. So please check COSOFI.com for more information on that. And then if you have any questions, please feel free to contact either myself or Lainey regarding anything for COSOFI. So thank you all again for attending, and we hope to see you back in July. And thank you so much, Fernando.
Thank you very much. My pleasure. Feel free to contact me offline if any of you have a question or a follow-up question.
Great. Thank you so much.